So for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at stewardship and the many ways in which we are called to be stewards of the gifts, the many gifts that God has given us. We started 2 weeks ago by looking at how we are stewards of our financial resources, the stewards of our money. Last week, Dave talked with us about how we become stewards of our vocation and how that is different from job. And today we're going to look at friendship and what it means to care for our friendships responsibly. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, it is good to be able to call you friend. We are grateful for the many friends we have. This morning we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So at least once a week, when I'm here at church, I make my way over to the subway over on Irving Park in Ashland, and I order up the usual 6-inch turkey sub. I've been doing it long enough that I've come to know some of the people that work there. And the other day, as I was leaving, I said to them, I kind of looked back and I said, "See you later, friends." And because I've been thinking a lot about friendship the last couple weeks, I almost immediately caught myself. And the whole walk back, I couldn't help but wonder if these people were really my friends. It got me thinking about how we use the language of friendship and how it has become a stand-in for so many different types of relationships we have in our lives. I mean, seriously, how awkward would it have been if I would have said, "See you later, acquaintances"? Well, more truthful, it would have been awkward at best. Here is what I have come to believe. We are indeed created as social beings. That is, we are created to be in relationship with one another. Philosopher John McMurray puts it this way: we need one another to be ourselves. This complete and unlimited dependence of each of us upon the other is the central and crucial fact of personal existence. Individual independence is an illusion, and the independent individual, the isolated self, is a non-entity. In and of ourselves, we are ultimately nothing. It is only in relation to others that we exist as persons. We live and move and have our being not in ourselves, but in one another. Being in relationship, becoming friends, is central to who we are, so much so that we can't exist without them. But what is interesting is that even though relationships and friendships are so important, we don't spend a lot of time talking about them in the church. And I think at times our relationships and our friendships probably suffer because of it. You see, most of our time is spent being formed and taught to put ourselves and our own needs above the well-being of others. Look no further than the current conversation about taxes and our national deficit. Our language of choice is individual rights, personal choice, and privacy. Gone is the language of common good. And all of this, I think, inhibits our ability to really grasp what it means that we are inherently relational and social creatures who need others in order to develop and flourish. But any conversation about friendship, any conversation about relationships must begin with God, not just because we're in church, but because our friendships with others, our friendships with one another, are rooted in our being invited and welcomed into relationship as friends of God. You see, in taking up the Christian life, we are transformed from strangers to God into the friends of God. It was Jesus who said to his disciples, as we read this morning in our gospel lesson, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have shared with you everything that was given to me by the Father." And in so many ways, that is what we are as the church, a community of the friends of God. And every Sunday in our worship, in our liturgy, in our music, we come into this place to be formed and transformed more and more into that community of the friends of God. And so it is good and right that in a conversation about becoming friends, we begin with our friendship with God. Because it is in this divine friendship that we learn that true friendship is not something that we can control, but instead, true friendship is an adventure that we enter into. As author Paul Waddell writes, true relationship is more a surrender than a conquest, more a loss of control than a calculated plan. Friendship is a matter of mutual affection, of reciprocal love, care, and concern for one another. Indeed, to learn what an authentic friendship with God entails is perhaps what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It is in part in our learning to be friends with God that we learn the language of friendship, the language of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of peace. And in the process, we are transformed into people who befriend others in the name of God. But what is also true is that friendship, good friendships, are ultimately gifts from God. Saint Augustine argued that we do not choose our friends. Instead, they are brought to us by God. In this way, good friendships are very concrete and personal experiences and expressions of how God loves us in the everyday reality of our lives. It was the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the church at Corinth who asked, "For what do you have that you did not receive?" We do not instigate these friendships. God does. They are gifts of God's grace. As one person said, intimacy and friendship is not something we chase after, but instead it is a gift that we unwrap. A few years ago, I was talking with some friends of mine who were going through a difficult season in their life. And during our conversation, I asked them many things, and I ended by asking them how they had experienced God in the midst of all of these very intense and frustrating experiences. And I'll admit that I was a little taken aback by what they said, but they said that they had experienced God most powerfully in and through the love and care of their friends. Their friends who sat with them, who asked them difficult questions, and their friends who simply held them in those moments. I learned this week that in some Native American languages, there is not a single word for friend, not just one word, but instead a phrase. And that phrase is this: one who carries my sorrows on his back. And when someone carries your sorrows on their back, it is indeed grace. It is indeed gift. And it is indeed an experience of God. But good friends are not only conduits for us to experience God's love in our lives, God's grace. There are many other dimensions that are so important to this gift of friendship. Because you see, our friends teach us how to love and care for other people. They teach us to reach beyond the boundaries of difference and exclusion. Because the very nature of friendship, is it not to care for and love someone other than ourselves? Friends also teach us about ourselves, even those aspects that we would rather not learn. Friends that have the ability, in my experience, friends that have the ability to tell the truth with compassion are indeed gifts and grace. And friends also help us to stay committed to our goals, stay committed to our values, stay committed to our passions, to seek what is best for one's friends is not only to help them make their way in the world, but also to help them make their way to the kingdom of God. And I think this is an important distinction that I want to talk about for a second. The good friendships, and I admit I want to be careful about what I communicate because this is not to the exclusion of other relationships, but we need to cultivate good deep friendships that support and encourage us as followers of Christ. It is important that we have good friendships that help us and challenge us as we wrestle with what it means to be a follower of Christ in the city of Chicago. Lenore and I have dear friends that are extremely important to us, friends that are indeed gifts of grace in our lives, day in and day out. And yet at the same time, we do not share a common faith. Now, I wouldn't say this has diminished our friendship by any stretch of the means, but the truth is that Lenore and I aren't able to share an obviously significant part of who we are with our friends. And they, in turn, are not able to journey with us and challenge us and encourage us in our faith on our way to the kingdom of God. If friendship is gift, if friendship is grace, then it is also equally important to talk about how we be faithful to that gift. It's important to talk about how we be good stewards of that gift. And this is where I think we have the most difficulty in conversations about friendship. Because despite what the self-help books might suggest, there really is not a five-step linear process to a better friendship. It's more of an art than a science. And I'd be lying if I stood up here and said, "Oh, you want to become good friends? Well, here, go do this, and then this, and then this, and then follow that up with this, and you'll instantly have good friends." The truth is that good friendships occur at the intersection of mystery and discipline. Developing and sustaining good friendships demand time, energy, creativity, intentionality, and even humility. They involve a willingness to forgive, an ability to learn, to share, to give, to accept, and to listen. They require that we are willing to get to know ourselves through the eyes of another person and through their experiences of us. Because as a good friend of mine said, intimacy must always be worked through in conversation and shared experience and care for another person. And no doubt all of this can be very challenging. We tend to be people who shy away from this level of discipline and commitment. This is indeed the discipline part of that mystery, the task part of the gift of friendship, or perhaps better put, all of this is what it means to unwrap the gift of friendship well. And I'm convinced that this is in part why we are gifted with the church. Why we are gifted with the community of the friends of God. Because God in God's wisdom created us as social creatures, people that need one another to truly be ourselves, and then gifted us with one another. Gifted us with the friends of God to journey together with. But becoming friends with one another, with others as followers of Christ, is indeed one part mystery and one part discipline. Because in some ways we aren't fully able to understand why God places people in our lives and why God places us in other people's lives. People who are kindred spirits, people who challenge our assumptions about the status quo, people who make us better disciples, better friends of God. But this gift asks something of us, does it not? It asks that we cultivate a discipline of friendship, a discipline of intentionality, a discipline of forgiveness, of vulnerability, of humility, but also a discipline of laughter and joy. But with these good friendships, friendships that share our sorrows, that teach us to reach beyond ourselves, that invite us to live more fully as followers of Christ, and that challenge us to seek God's glory and neighbor's good, With these friendships, I believe that our lives are exponentially better. I believe that our lives are deeper and more life-giving, and that somehow along the way, the challenges, the disciplines, ultimately we find that they have become blessings. Friends, it is my hope that we as a community are not only becoming friends with one another, but we are a community that befriends others in God's name. It is my prayer that we are learning to surrender ourselves, learning to let go of our need to control, and instead giving ourselves over to the beautiful and mysterious adventures that are friendships. For truly, they are more surrender than a conquest, more a loss of control than a calculated plan. Indeed, I think we find that they are a mysterious gift that is waiting to be unwrapped. And so, as we leave this place today, go embracing friends, embracing friendship, embracing mystery and discipline, trusting that God is present in the midst of it. Thanks be to God. Amen.